there people in the audience at this time who would enjoy having an interpreter communicate in a language other than English? Portuguese, Turkey, and well, this is an international thing. I was trying to open it up. You know, I want you guys to put it in Turkey and language. Can I do that? Okay. Does anybody raise their hand? Does anybody need the hearing enhancement equipment? Get that over in the corner. Okay. Going once. Going twice. Three times. All right. See you guys. Have fun in the sun. All right. Okay. Not that I need to introduce myself because I talked too much this morning. Here we go. Who is that guy? Anyway, I'm Dave Gray. We have the privilege of listening to a really talking diverse here, folks. Group of papers. Okay.
If I bring the mic, do you want to
use it? Oh, I'm just going to stop. So our first speaker is Dr. Mercero.
Darcy Mercero, yeah.
Darcy
Good, she's pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
And she's talking about health disparities in persons with intellectual disabilities in 159 nations. Take it over.
Thank you. I'd first like to thank my co-authors, Amy Harris, Dr. Stephen Corbin, Stanley Shepard, Aldous Berzins, and Martin Weiser. And I am an employee of Special Olympics. I might be the only person who discloses anything. We'll see. And I also want to thank the CDC and Lions Clubs International for funding this study. We know from other presentations this week, from other presentations in years past, that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are at increased risk for preventable secondary conditions. We also know that there are significant access to care and quality of care issues. This is a picture from our 1995 World Summer Games in New Haven, Connecticut, and this is really the genesis of Special Olympics' involvement in public health and in the health of our athletes. Before this point, we were fun, we were about ability, we were about achievement, we were about camaraderie, we were about recreation, and in 1995 we also became about health. In the 1995 games, for the first time, we conducted formal vision and oral health screenings of our athletes. And what we found, this is a picture of opening ceremonies, which looks really great, and then what we found in our screenings was some pretty substantial concerns about the health of our athletes. 29% of the athletes screened, and again, this is just vision and oral health, had untreated vision problems. 68% had gingivitis. A third of our athletes, I think it was 35%, had untreated dental decay. And 15% of our athletes, and again, these are athletes who are competing at World Games. This is the cream of the crop. We had to refer 15% of them for urgent care because of acute pain or disease. Out of the screening came the Healthy Athletes Program. And it did start with our oral and vision care screening programs. And over the years, we added a healthy hearing program, which is audiology. We added physical fitness and physical therapy. We added health promotion, podiatry, and most recently, MedFest, which is a service that does the entrance physical for our athletes. It's a required physical. All of these screenings are provided free of charge to our athletes. We have been official Healthy Athletes for about 10 years now, and in that time we have conducted health screenings for almost 700,000 athletes. These athletes are conducted by local healthcare practitioners in the community. We recruit them and we train them to run these screenings, and then they do the screenings on a volunteer basis. So in addition to these screenings being health service for our athletes, they're also a training ground for healthcare practitioners. We have it's a screening and referral program, but we are able to provide some health services, and one example is eyeglasses, and we have distributed over 50,000 pair of eyeglasses to our athletes. So So healthy athletes is a fairly complicated beast. We're not only on the ground providing education, screening, and referral to our athletes, we're also training healthcare providers. And in addition to the trainings we do at screening events, we also have developed curricula in collaboration with some health professions associations for dental care, vision care, psychiatry, and medicine. We have established a provider directory that stems largely from the healthcare practitioners who volunteer at Healthy Athletes that allow our athletes to identify primary and secondary care providers in their communities. And we certainly collect this data and use it for advocacy purposes. So today I'm just going to talk about the data side. We currently have a database that includes screening data from 514 events. These are events ranging from the world level, international games, down to the state level or provincial level within countries. And the data that we have aggregated is from 2003 to the present. 2003 is when we developed the Healthy Athletes software system. We call it HAS. And since then, programs have been able to enter their screening results. The data that are included here are a subset of the total data, and they represent about 79,000 screenings and 159 countries. It's important to point out that these data are not evenly distributed across world regions. Healthy Athletes started in the U.S., and the majority of the data, or the U.S. is still certainly the region that has the most screening results. Almost half of the screening results we have are for the North America region, which includes the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean. Most other regions we're getting pretty robust data for now as they increasingly offer Healthy Athletes, but we still have pretty limited data for Africa and the Asia-Pacific regions. Across disciplines, it's a little bit more evenly distributed, but again, the disciplines that have been around the longest are the ones that we have most data for. So special smiles and opening eyes, we have tens of thousands of screening results for. We are much more limited in newer disciplines like health promotion, fit feet, that sort of thing. Okay, so I do want to say the data that we're looking at, this is a huge data set. We've been cleaning away, but the data that we're looking at are still pretty preliminary and at a descriptive level at this point. And we do have ambitious goals of getting in deeper, but they are pretty descriptive and basic at this point. Right now, we know that the data mirror in terms of gender our population pretty closely. It's about 62% of the athletes who've been screened in this database are male, and that is similar to our overall athlete population. The data are more representative of adults than the Special Olympics population, and that's probably by nature of where the events where the data are collected. They're collected at major games, and often those major games require travel and overnight trips, and so it tends to be more adults who are in that group. Okay, so what I've done is just pull out one indicator from each of the disciplines. There's a lot more data, but I don't have time for it. But they kind of show a range of different phenomena. So I just pulled out one indicator from each discipline. This is untreated tooth decay, and you can see at the top that this represents about 28,000 screenings total. And then across the bottom, these bars represent our individual regions. And under each region is the N for that region. So you can see that for untreated tooth decay, we have screening data for this indicator for almost 13,000 athletes in North America, but only a little over 200 for Africa. And then within each region, you'll see that the numbers hang pretty closely for a lot of the regions. We tend to average around 41% of our athletes having active untreated tooth decay. We have higher numbers than that in Latin America and in the Middle East, North Africa region, and the situation's a little bit better in North America. In terms of hearing tests, we do tests with Puritone 4000 hertz at the 25 decibel level, and we see here that typical regions hover between 15% and 20% of athletes failing this test. The situation's a little bit better in Africa, but we also know that hearing loss is generally a little better, less common in Africa than in other parts of the world, and hearing loss is more common in Asia and in North America. So these numbers may trend with general population. When we looked at skin and nail conditions, and I should explain what I mean by that, this includes things like tinea, vulgaris, cellulitis, ulcers, warts, callus, corns, ingrown toenails, hammer toes, that sort of thing. This is something that we always find very prevalent in our population, and it's the numbers tend to be closer together for this than for a lot of other conditions, but they are higher for Europe, Eurasia, North America, and Africa. The fungus that causes a lot of these conditions originated in Africa. It migrated to the U.S. and to North America, and then a lot of other parts of the world where people don't wear shoes as much, the figures are lower. Physical therapy is a really wacky one, and I won't even try to explain it. But basically, people who this is an implementation issue that at our events, some of our regions provide more education at the event, whereas some of our regions actually just refer for follow-up care. We think that's what's going on. Osteoporosis, osteopenia. We don't actually call it osteoporosis, osteopenia. We refer for follow-up screening if T-scores are lower than -1. And again, these probably are mirroring general regional tendencies in low bone density, higher in the Asian populations, higher in the Caucasian populations, and lower in Africa and Latin America. Access, I put in one access question. This is for vision care. This probably, again, this is a guess based on WHO data about access to care in different regions, but this reflects secondary care and specialty care access in some of these countries probably. Okay, so we think that access to care is probably one cause of these data variations. We think that there are some regional, just general population variations in some of these conditions, and we also know that there are variations in the general population health for the regions. What we haven't yet discovered yet is how much of this is where the disparities are between people with intellectual disabilities and the overall general population in those regions. We have used this data for advocacy at the federal level, at the state level in the U.S. and abroad to inform improved public policies. We have used it to advocate for improvements in the curricula of healthcare practitioners. Most successfully, we collaborated with a group of organizations to get this entered into the curricula of dental care programs, working with patients with disabilities. We definitely are using it to increase the general knowledge base, and part of why I'm here today is to get the word out that these data exist and that we want to collaborate more and more and more with universities to do more detailed analyses of these data. And finally, we are using the data to drive programmatic improvements so that we can customize our programs to local regional needs, and so we can understand associations between the data. The data is very limited still in some of our regions. It may not be representative of all of our athletes. Athletes who can make it to the major games may be, on average, healthier than our typical athletes who are only competing at the local level. And with any data set this large, where the data are collected at the local level, we know that there are probably some implementation and adherence variations. Finally, in terms of future research, we certainly are interested in looking at athletes across the disciplines and looking at how many of them are experiencing multiple conditions. We want to understand what associations exist between different conditions and, for example, hearing loss, bone density issues, and missing teeth or edentulous. Those things are all associated, and we want to understand how that manifests in our population. And again, we want to understand the extent to which these variations are mirroring the overall population and to what extent they represent disparities with the overall population. So I think that is it, and that's my contact information. Thank you.
environments.